this summer. If you want movies with excitement, movies with non-stop action, movies with absolutely no break dancing in them, then Tombstone Films has the action-packed movies for you.
All right, calling all stations, clear the air lanes, clear all air lanes for the big broadcast. That's right, the legendary Rich Coase is celebrating 38 years. Holy smokes, 38 years.
I didn't smoke for 38 years.
Since his debut of Son of Svengoolie in 1979, and joining us in the studio is Rich himself and executive producer Jim Roach. What's up, gentlemen?
Gentlemen, who came in?
Waiting for that.
Hey, Mo. Oh, sorry.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's happening?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Nice to see you both.
Well, it's nice to see you, too. We finally get to see you face-to-face after missing you after a couple of supposed dinners.
Did that happen? Yeah, well, that's embarrassing. No, I apologize publicly.
We keep missing you, Dave, but we'll aim better.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good. I saw on Facebook that you noted it was 38 years. I knew it was June. It wasn't clicking that it was that day. That's amazing to me because I actually remember watching that first show almost 40 years ago.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember that movie. So I actually watched a little of the YouTube and I thought that was that was an odd movie.
It was a very bad movie.
In the year 2889.
2889. Yeah, yeah. And didn't it have some young teen idol at the time in it? See, that's
maybe.
How well I remember things.
I just watched a little bit of the beginning.
Yeah. It was not a great movie. It was pretty low budget.
But it was a great show. Like, I was excited as a kid because I was 12 years old, I think, when it debuted.
And
So it was a Friday night in the summertime. That's a great time to watch a scary movie and watch you and laugh.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad that you were watching back then. I didn't even know that.
Oh,
Dave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, yeah. So do you, we've talked about this a million times, but, you got G. Bishop's blessing on this. Do you remember, did you tape it the week before? Did you take a couple weeks out? Was that live? What did you do?
I think we taped it a couple weeks out.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, it was, it was all done. There was no editing back then. We would never edit for the most part. Through the whole time that I was at WFLD, it was very rare that any, actual editing was
done. No, you can tell it was never edited.
It was done live. Thank you very much.
No, I'm totally kidding.
No, it was done as if it was a live program. And, that would include, having graphics that, the camera would cut to that, and then they'd cut back to me, then they'd move the graphic and put another one up and then take that shot.
Wow.
And I can only remember a few times when anything was actually edited.
Wow. That's pretty cool. But you remember just doing it in one day?
Yeah. Yeah. We always shot a show in one day, and that was it.
Were you nervous? Were you?
I was apprehensive, sure, because, this was a big deal to me.
Yeah.
It was my first, me fronting an actual program.
Yeah.
And, I was the one that wrote it, and, I was responsible for if it flew or didn't, and I guess it kind of flew. So.
How did that first set come together? I mean, obviously, it was Jerry's coffin that was painted over, but I don't think in the first one was it.
No, in the first couple, I think, it still had his face on it.
Okay.
And I eventually had to paint the face over it there.
That's awesome.
So that was, it was bits and pieces of other sets at the time. And then it kind of graduated, and eventually they found some pieces from the old original Shock Theater that was on ABC. And they used those, and then they built and added onto it along the way. And it was a pretty large set by the time we were done.
I bet.
And then after I was gone, it was given to one of the local colleges, which proceeded to take it apart and paint over it all.
Isn't that crazy? But that's what happened in television all throughout, though. I mean, nothing was saved or kept. It was all reused back then.
And the same thing with most of the tapes. Didn't keep the tapes. When they changed and they were moving from over at Marina City, which is now the House of Blues, which was originally where our studio was, and they were moving to Michigan Avenue, most of the tapes they just tossed.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it is.
But I know where to find some of the old Svengoolies. I do.
Do you
and so
really?
Do you. All right. So, but then you had, the coffin. You came back, did the show on CIU, and a lot of, the original coffin, everything we've talked about this before is at the Broadcast Museum.
Yeah, it is. And it's so nice that it's there. And I hear from people all the time. People constantly send me pictures of themselves standing in front of the exhibit there. And it's very nice that people get a chance to you know, kind of share that history with me.
But when you walk up to it, I mean, you really do see. I mean, you have a beautiful new set, but you get to see the kind of the vintage set and some of the famous, you know, movies that you played in there and pictures of, we call it Daddy, of
yes.
Jerry
in one
of the frames.
Pictures of Jerry G. Bishop,
yep,
Dad
yep.
there. Yeah.
And little things people don't know. Like, I think that tube television that's in there is one of the first televisions that were ever donated to the museum that is in your space, because you always have the old-fashioned radios and televisions on your set.
Sure, yeah.
And the radio was your brother's radio.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
it was
which
indeed.
Is kind of nice, a little tribute
so
to have it in there.
So we got it there. It's so cool to see that. And, you know, every time we go by there, it's just kind of a kick to look at that and think, wow, this is a display of my stuff that's
yeah.
in this museum.
Yeah.
It's, and, you know, you walk just a little further over, and there's Bill Jackson's
yeah.
stuff and the stuff from the Bozo Show.
Jack Brickhouse. I
and
mean,
it's just
Chicago
amazing.
History.
Jack Brickhouse is actually in there?
He's in there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little bucket.
I was wondering for a minute there.
And now we're going to add your organ.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me.
Well, we'll call it an organ transplant.
Yeah, the original electric organ.
Yeah, sometime this summer, which I like that. I like yeah. adding to an exhibit, and that's very cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is cool to always be able to constantly add, you know, little additional touches to it.
See, now, Jim, now I have to get it done.
It's official.
No, it's always...
Everything must go.
No, but I mean, the rest is history. Almost 40 years doing that. That's pretty cool. And I have to assume that, has the show been in competent hands since Jim has been at the helm?
We've all been incompetent. Are you kidding?
If you want incompetent, come see me. I keep trying to think and nothing happens.
So how did you celebrate the big 38th birthday? Did someone make you a cake?
Well, you know, I could have made a cake because I used to work in a bakery.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was a pilot there.
A pilot?
Yes. I'd pilot here, I'd pilot there. They would find it everywhere. It was really... Oh, you have a wry sense of humor.
Oh.
See what I did there.
I saw it.
Nobody
saw
wants
it.
To see what I
do
did.
Do we really need this?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh.
Summertime. I always think about watching scary movies in the summer and, of course, over the Halloween and throughout the year. But summer, it was just something... I remember going to the drive-in and watching... a good scary movie, and that's where you want to take a girl to because she'd be scared and nervous. You want to put your arm around
exactly.
her and do all that good stuff.
Certainly.
You know? But there's a lot of great summer-themed movies that are out there that people still love watching over and over.
Well, sure. Yeah, I think you have to start with Jaws.
Yeah.
You know, because
I never think of Jaws as a horror movie, but it totally is.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, the beautiful Amityville Beach there, or Amity Beach, I'm sorry. Yeah. Amityville is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But, and of course... the lower rent version of it, which was actually supposed to be a parody of it, Piranha.
Oh, that's right.
Which also is a good summer movie because, you know, hey, kids, you're having fun at the summer camp, and guess what's been loosed into the river? Deadly
Piranha. Yeah, exactly. What was the – is it Friday the 13th or Halloween that was done at the camp? It was Friday the 13th,
Friday
right?
the 13th,
okay.
Sure. It's Camp Crystal Lake.
Wow. Ooh.
And, a poor young man was – killed because of the lack of the counselors paying attention to things. So later there is vengeance when people go to that camp.
Yeah.
Especially if the kids are sleeping around.
I remember watching that, I think, for the first time with my son and didn't realize, because I think I've watched it on TV for so long that I didn't know there's nudity and all kinds of good little things happening in there. So it was a little surprising. I'm like, well, close your eyes. Well, you know, a few years ago.
You got, Jason Voorhees with his famous hockey mask.
That's right. That's right.
And that one was... always, I think, a pretty unsettling one. And it kind of was in the same territory as Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It kind of came from that same genre area.
Sleepaway Camp. I remember seeing that one. I kept trying to think what year that was. Was that the 80s, maybe?
It might have been, yeah.
I
that,
think I
that, one
that
is,
one
is very odd.
Yeah.
And it's got, I don't want to even hint about the ending because that was very, very strange.
Did somebody
but again,
die?
You've got, a troubled teen going to this fine camp. I think it was something like Camp Arawat or something like that. Very, very strange place. And she's, set upon by people who know that she's already upset. And, they cause a lot of trouble for her. And then, people start dying.
Your favorite was Sleepaway Camp 3, though.
I think I missed that one.
Okay.
I think Sleepaway Camp 2, We've Run Out of Sheets, was the one that really frightened me.
I got to go back to Piranha. Wasn't Keenan Wynn in that movie?
Let's see. Is that the one, or was that?
Strangely enough,
it was. Yes,
I totally remember that.
Because he's sitting on the dock fishing, and dangling his feet in the water, which is not the best idea.
Yeah,
in that movie.
And I was looking at some of these other ones too. I know, you know, cliche. I Know What You Did Last Summer, obviously.
Sure.
Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers. Yes, with when they're on the road trip, and here's this awful thing.
Eileen Brennan.
An awful thing.
I mean, it's kind of scary to watch yourself. Hills Have Eyes. Now, I've never seen that one.
There's two different versions of
okay.
that. There's a newer version and an original okay. one. Again, people on a road trip, and, you know, they're going to meet up with some very, I want to call them mutants, but I'm not sure if that's what they were, actually.
And, of course, there was Tourist Trap with Tanya Roberts.
Tourist Trap. Mm. Oh, my gosh. And also... June Lockhart's daughter was in that.
Really?
As well as The Rifleman.
Yeah, Chuck Connors was
yes.
in that.
Yes. And I just remember that funny. Movie used to run a lot when my folks first got cable.
Okay.
And it was on all the time. And I just remember, you know, the segments where the mannequins are all laughing oh. and their jaws are moving. And it's frightening. Oh, my.
Now, in the hot weather, you also talk about a little bit of the movies that have a little colder.
Well, sure. You
yeah.
know, how the theaters always used to say it's cool inside.
Yeah, right.
And now, if you're in heat, do you really want to watch something about sweltering heat?
No.
So go for something like The Thing, either version.
Yeah.
Where, you
okay.
know, here they are in this Arctic area, and
that's smart. I like
it's
this.
Pretty cold. Or The Shining. Mm. You know, you've got Jack Nicholson, Jason
right.
the kid around
yep.
in the snow.
Yep.
And another one of my favorites, The Deadly Mantis.
Oh, yeah.
Which starts out, you know, up near the dew line, and you see the big footprint of the mantis in the snow, which is probably really ivory snowflakes, but...
I love that.
They spend awesome. A lot of time out there.
What was the original thing? Is that what year was that, the original thing?
Was it 53?
It was the 50s. I thought it was 60s. Okay, 50s on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
right.
yeah.
What do you got coming up on the show?
Oh, what have I got coming
what
up?
What do you got coming?
It's funny you should. Well, for the 4th
Saturday
of July,
yeah.
we're on July 1st.
Yeah.
But we scheduled an Abbott and Costello movie, The Time of Their Lives, in which... Lou Costello is a ghost from the
Civil War,
the Revolutionary War
yeah,
era.
Yep.
And he's trying to, you know, clear his family name and all this stuff and find out who actually caused all these problems.
And that was way before Meet Frankenstein, wasn't it?
I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was earlier than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
Certainly.
Okay.
And then later on in the month, we've got the beloved, you like car trips, get the car with the demonic car that is out
okay.
killing people.
Perfect, because Cars is out now, yeah.
Middle of the month, you know what you love? Going to a tropical area. How about the Amazon and Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Oh, I love that. That's
one
fabulous.
Of my favorites.
Yeah, it is. Mine
really
too.
Is
it
with
is
the
mine
Gill
too.
Man.
Yeah.
And nothing beats that original one. There were two sequels, but I really like that one more than
you know what I want
else.
To do? I want to see The Return of the Creature in 3D. I wonder if that's available someplace.
You never know.
I've got some glasses I'll sell you.
Do
cheap,
you?
Yeah.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
And then later on in the month, we've got The Land Unknown. Again, going from freezing cold to supposedly this tropical indentation in the cold where there's the world's worst dinosaur costume. It makes Godzilla look like it's really
for
real.
Those are the best. And I got to tell you, and I have to say this, and I'm sure millions of others love this too. My daughter loves a favorite part of Svengoolie is when you superimpose your face in one of the stills. She loves that. She cannot wait to see who you're talking to, what you're doing. And she's like, and that's when she's like, shh, quiet.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I swear that's what I'm about.
And I just wanted to tell you, we wind up the month with one of those Inner Sanctum mysteries with Lon Chaney Jr., Calling Dr. Death.
Okay.
Now, the funny thing about this is the last time we ran it was when we had a visit from Gilbert Gottfried, and we did a couple segments with him.
That's cool.
The funny thing is he came back to visit
he
with
did.
Us again. I don't know if you saw, he was the mystery hand at the
yes.
door.
Yes, yes,
which
yes.
made me laugh so hard because, you know, he's doing it after he finishes the joke. You know, it's just
there's
his
no
hand.
Mystery.
And I said, you know, you do the best Gilbert Gottfried impression I've ever seen. He comes out and he says, you'd think you would have noticed it when you first looked out the door. But he did a couple other segments with
That's
us.
That's awesome.
And actually, we're replacing the old
I
segments
like
in Calling Dr. Death with the new ones with him. It's so nice. He's a great guy. He enjoys the show, and he's
That's
a fan.
That's awesome. He is a fan, yeah.
And he comes in, and he knows so much about all those Universal movies. He's an expert, really.
Go back to The Inner Sanctum. Was that a series of horror films? You when you say
yeah,
that? Okay.
There were either five or six of them.
Okay.
They were based on the famous radio.
Yeah, because they did a
program.
Television series that was very short lived. But I know they. Yeah.
Yeah, and all of them starred Lon Chaney Jr. as different characters, of course, and they all supposedly had this kind of twist to them. A lot of times, it wasn't much of a twist, but it opened up with this disembodied head inside a big glass globe, and he talks about how the most deadly thing is the mind, and that's it for him. He's gone.
That's it. He's out of there.
And then the rest is the story with Lon.
That's cool. That's cool, and that's all coming up in July, and you got some appearances coming up, too.
Yeah, those are coming up in both July and August. In July, I'm going to be at a comic book convention at the Gail Borden Public Library in Elgin.
That. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to be there signing autographs and taking pictures with
cool.
people. And, you know, I'm a comic fan myself,
yeah.
so I love seeing comic book stuff. And then, as always, in August 5th, Saturday only this year, I'm going to be at the Flashback Weekend Convention.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, you know, as usual, I'll be signing autographs and taking pictures for free. I'll be hosting the costume contest, which
love
is always
that.
A lot of fun.
Yep.
And Nick DiGilio always comes in.
Yes,
for that,
he does.
Introduces
he
me
does.
And then sits in the audience and laughs at my jokes, which I appreciate.
Which you love, exactly.
But we're also doing something special this year. Every year they have a special celebrity photo opportunities for a lot of the guests there. This year, one of them being my pal Freddy Krueger himself.
Oh, that's cool.
Robert Englund is coming.
A couple years ago, you did something
yeah,
with him, right? Yeah,
we did a talk show with him in
yes,
full makeup.
Yeah.
But he's just going to be himself this year. But among the celebrities this year, they asked me to do one.
That's
so
awesome.
There is a fee for it, but you get this beautiful professional picture taken.
Nice.
And again, if you don't want to pay for it, I do just do them for free when I'm doing my usual autographs.
That's
signing.
Cool. Yeah, I like the professional stuff. That's very, very, very cool.
They look great. I've got
they
one
do.
Of myself with Robert in
oh,
his
see, that's
Freddy
awesome.
Krueger makeup.
And, you can do that, and that's
cool.
August 5th.
That's August 5th. Yeah,
okay.
Saturday only this year. I'm just doing one day.
You mentioned comic books. I immediately think of Batman. I immediately think of Adam West, who just passed away. It was a bummer. It was like one of those moments when Rickles died that I thought, piece of your childhood.
Yeah, definitely
right?
so.
Absolutely.
I mean, for so many of us, he was Batman,
yeah.
you know? And I just remember the great anticipation because, you know, when I was a kid and I loved comic books, there wasn't that much around about
no.
it. And all of a sudden, here's going to be a TV show about Batman. And I remember the promos. There was one promo where I believe it's Frank Gorshin as the Riddler wearing the elephant mask. And all of a sudden, into the frame jumps Batman, and you see him from behind, but it's like he's landing right in front of him. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is the coolest thing yeah. ever.
What if those promos are on the DVD set? That'd be cool to see
oh,
some
you know,
of those
I don't
again.
Know if they are, but yeah.
yeah.
And remember the whole thing of Batman is coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was a big thing.
Favorite villain on Batman?
Gotta go with Cesar Romero.
who refused to take off
with
that mustache.
Yeah, that mustache hidden under white grease paint. And you're sitting there going, come on,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
But he just makes me laugh. And Jim and I were just talking about last week on MeTV when we ran the first two
yeah.
initial
yeah.
ones. And again, Frank Gorshin as the Riddler.
Brilliant.
And that giggling and just his attitude. And then, you know, Julie Newmar.
Yeah.
That's a little hard to forget.
She was on Dean's show, and she still sounded sexy as hell.
She does.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Favorite as far as a villain? Jim?
I got to say I'm a Burgess Meredith fan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we can't forget in that first Riddler episode, Jill St. John was his mom.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes,
but
and the funny thing is, at one point, she disguises herself as Robin the Boy Wonder. And I'm like, yeah, that's
oh,
legitimate.
I
got to
go back and watch that.
Yeah.
I got to go back and watch
yeah,
that one.
It's a good one.
See, Alex is discovering all these. And this is something we discovered. So, you know, to put a DVD in and stuff, it can be painful. So now we started DVRing them, obviously, after
oh,
your
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
But you are airing them. You know, I thought, well, they're just going to contain one episode in that 1 hour. You sons of guns, it's part two, and then it's part one, and you got to look next week. I kind of think that's hysterical. Alex is like, what? Where's part two? Now you got to wait till next week.
Well, it depends sometimes,
what?
Though, because there were some that were three
standalones?
Parters.
Right. Oh, okay, okay.
And, yeah, there were standalones, but there were also three
okay.
parters, so it throws the whole thing off. It was in the later episodes, I believe, with Batgirl, when a lot of times it was just one standalone type thing. Well, and at the end, they'd tease the next episode,
I
think.
And Dave, you have to remember, the instructions are right there. It's the same bad time, same bad channel.
I should know that.
Yeah.
I should know that.
That tells you right where to go.
I should know that. You know, when I talked to Adam, he specifically asked me, and I said so. And then I said something like, and Batgirl came around. He goes, what'd you think about that? As you know, and you've read, wasn't a big fan of that. He felt like, you know, the show didn't need to be saved by bringing someone else on at that time.
Yeah.
And it was kind of snarky, and even the dialogue, like, we don't need Bat. You know, I was watching an episode this weekend. Well, we don't need Batgirl here.
Yes. You know, perhaps you should stand back while we men handle this. Yeah, it was that sort of, you know, well, women shouldn't be doing this. And then, of course, he'd be put in his place when she'd do something and she'd say, see, Batman, you know, women can take care of this, too. Yeah. I've duly noted that.
Yeah, right. It was a little snarky. There was a little snarkiness there. Absolutely. It's the middle of the night. I've invited you guys to breakfast after the show, and you said you were going to order a burnt toast and rotten egg. What do you need that for?
I got a tapeworm, and it's good enough for
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, catch Svengoolie every Saturday night, of course, at 9 Central, only on MeTV and Svengoolie.com, and sign up for that newsletter. I love that newsletter.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I think it's cool because people always say, well, how will I know what's going to be on this month? And if they didn't just listen to me talking to you.
Yeah, right.
The way to do it is you sign up for it, and that the first of every month you get the entire schedule for the entire month. And, you know, we throw in where I'm going to be appearing, things like that, and lots of little information that you get before most people would.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, it kind of reminds me I'm a geek at heart. So in the 70s, when you used to get that TV guide and look to see what's on, that's what I think when I get the newsletter. I'm like, yeah, I get to see what's going on, man.
Yeah.
Love it. Love
Very
it.
Cool.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Yes, sir.
And you can always go to Svengoolie.com. You can get T-shirts. You can get magnets. There's posters. There's Svenmojis for iPhone and iPad users. And
I love that new poster.
And I believe we have one with your name on it.
Oh, stop it. You're embarrassing me.
Well, it's not a good one. It's
provided
your name
is Berwyn, it's on there.
We're in good shape. Thanks, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. It's 720 WGN.